أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون صدق الله العظيم. Continuing on the descriptions of the عباد الرحمن, the first of those deeds that they don't carry out, Allah Ta'ala said, are those people who do not call with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other gods, other deities. Thereafter Allah says that they do not kill any soul except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, illa bil haqq, but by the right of the shariat. And the last is wala yaznoon, and nor do they commit adultery. Today we will discuss the aspect of killing others and taking away lives. We have heard time and time again that there are only three occasions in the Shariat when it becomes permissible to take the life of another Muslim. And these three occasions, or these three individuals or categories of people whose lives can be taken, it will be done under the supervision of an Islamic hukumat, the supervision of an Islamic government, after the Islamic court is fully satisfied with all the matters relating to the issues. The first is when a married Muslim commits zina and four witnesses give shahadat, they give testimony, and all of that satisfies the Islamic court, then the qadi, the judge, will give the verdict of the had, that is the Islamic penal law. Secondly, a person intentionally murdered a Muslim. It was intentional without any doubt. And again, the Islamic court is satisfied with all the different aspects of it, or the person made an admission. And the third is a Muslim male that turns away from the deen of Islam, Allah Ta'ala forbid, the person renegated, he became a murtad, he'll be given time, and then thereafter, if he does not re-embrace the deen of Allah Ta'ala, then he will also be killed. Otherwise, we discussed one verse in Surah Al-Imran, where if somebody kills a believer intentionally, the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used are very, very severe. Allah ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُ الْمُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَدِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Look at the recurring stern words that Allah ta'ala used, that whoever kills a believer intentionally, then his jaza, his recompense is the fire of Jahannam. If he did it thinking or believing that it is permissible for him to have done so, then khalidan fiha, he becomes a kafir and he will remain in the fire of Jahannam forever. Wa ghadib Allahu alayhi, and the wrath of Allah Ta'ala will be upon him. Wa la'anahu, and Allah Ta'ala curses him. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا, and Allah Ta'ala has prepared for that person a great punishment. So here we see Allah Ta'ala has used stern, firm words that probably we don't find for any other case in the Quran Sharif. And then Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that أَوَّلُ مَا يُقَضَى بَيْنَ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي الدِّمَاءِ, that the very first thing that Allah Ta'ala's judgment will take place upon will be the taking of lives. One is salat in the hukukul ibad, and in the hukukullah, in the rights of Allah, and one is insofar as the rights of others are concerned. The very first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take hisab kitab will be of murder. We find in the lives of Sahaba, there are indications to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dissatisfaction when the life of a person was taken in a situation that could have been justified also. Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent them on an expedition to the Juhayna people. Then Sayyidina Usama says that he was in combat with a person and he began to stab or pierce that person. And at that time, the person said, La ilaha illallah. Now, Sayyidina Usama, when he came back, he relates this incident to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he says, but I killed him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that did you kill him despite the fact that he said, La ilaha illallah? Sayyidina Usama said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did it to save himself. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him a question, فَهَلَا شَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبِ. Did you open his heart? And did you peep into that heart to see the intention why this person read the kalima? And I think if we just look at this in a broader context of the Shariat, there are many assumptions we make sometimes. We have perceptions about people, and we should be also asking ourselves the very same question. Did I open the man's heart to see his intention? Did I open the man's heart to see why he did whatever? We should never ever presume things. We should never ever have our own perceptions without knowing the realities. In another narration, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Sayyidina Usama, كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِذَا جَاءَتْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then on the day of Qiyamah, this person is going to come, his kalima is going to give shahadat, testimony that this man brought iman. Then how are you going to deal with that kalima on the day of Qiyamah? So we should be cautious insofar as this is concerned. Alhamdulillah, murder is not rife in our community, but we find that sometimes we begin to move towards things very naively. We have this concept of people in the business world selling goods on account, and then the debtor doesn't pay. We have our own mafias that would go out and threaten. People's lives are threatened. And Allah Ta'ala forbid, we begin to open these doors of murder or any sin in a way that sometimes we are very naive, and sometimes for personal reasons and personal benefits. So insofar as that is concerned, we should shut that door. We did also in the tafsir that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, min ajli zalik katabna ala bani Israel annahu man qatala nafsan bighayri nafsin aw fasadin fil ard فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. To take one soul is like taking the soul of the entire mankind. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. They have not committed zina. In Surah Bani Israel, Allah Rabbul Izzat says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلًا. There, the prohibition is, do not go close to zina, because it is promiscuous, it is indecent, it is an evil way. Not to go close will mean everything that would have led to zina, whether it is the intermingling of the genders, speaking freely, carefreely, chatting, and all of that will come in the ambit of that ayat. And then we find in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the seven heavens and the earth curses an adulterer or an adulteress. In the day of Qiyamah, such a terrible stench will emanate from the private parts of their bodies that even the people of Jahannam will be embarrassed about that smell. So that is how it is abhorred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions several sins, but particularly with regards to zina, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. An adulterer does not commit adultery or fornication whilst they are carrying out the deed, whilst they are a believer. Now what it means, Sayyidina Ikrama, one of the narrators, asked Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu the meaning, and the context of his response was that when a person commits zina, then at that time the iman of that person leaves him. And then of course, when he is completed with the act, then that iman comes back to that person. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has gone a step further. In his explanation, he says, لَا يَكُونُ هَذَا مُؤْمِنٌ تَامًّا, that this person is not a complete believer. And the person is deprived of the nur of iman. And hence, it is a sin that has an impact directly on the iman of an individual. And on the day of Miraj, or the night of Miraj, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had gone on the Miraj, Allah Ta'ala had shown Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam different phenomena, and one of it on the Miraj was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came upon a group of people in front of whom there were two cauldrons. One contained cooked wholesome flesh, whilst the other had raw and decomposed flesh. Now, for some strange reason, these people were not eating from that wholesome cooked flesh. They were eating the raw, decomposed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired from Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who are these people? Jibreel replied, they are the men and women of your ummah who leave their halal spouses and commit adultery. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about those deeds that the Ibadur Rahman refrain from and they keep away from it. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the strength and the ability to keep away from all of these that Allah Ta'ala has deemed as impermissible and abhorred in the Shariat. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us chastity. May Allah Ta'ala give us piety and purity. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.